this is going to be round three.
Round three.
With bringing in the intro.
I just hope like sirens start going off right now.
I hope a plane falls directly on my house. No people in it. I don't want anyone to get hurt. I'd hope a plane just falls directly on my home.
You're very considerate.
Yes, I don't want people to die for me. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 4 of 2-Bit, the number one gaming podcast recorded in my spare bedroom. I'm Scott Petty, and with me as always, the worst person I've ever met, Jose Murguia.
Hey, guys.
That's Jose. Hey, Jose, how you been?
I've been pretty good. Well, actually, no. My cat kept me up all freaking night.
Because it was sleeping on your face.
No, it was just like super hungry, apparently. Because it likes to do the thing where... Because we have a kitten.
Mm-hmm.
And we feed them both separately in different plates. And he just stands
like
there.
Like human plates?
Like tiny little cat plates.
Okay.
But he stands next to him and he goes, "You eat. You're small. You need food." And then the kitten eats both of them. And then at 3 in the morning, he's like, "I'm hungry. Wake up." And I'm like...
Did you just refuse to give him food?
No, we gave him food. It's just now we're getting him... Now he's getting used to eating at 3 in the morning, though, so that's bad. But.
What I would do is just get him on an IV drip.
Yeah.
And that way he's never hungry.
Yeah, I can do that.
You play any games this week?
No, I have not, actually.
Oh, you terrible trash
I've
bitch.
I've watched a lot of movies, and by a lot, I mean probably around 3 or 4, but I did play... 2 demos.
Demos?
Yes.
That's still a thing?
Yeah.
Was one of them Gravity Rush?
Gravity Rush 2, yeah.
Nice. How was that?
It was great.
Yeah?
I think they've improved a lot.
Of the physics and such?
Of the physics, yeah. Especially the Vita one, because that's the last one I played.
That one was rough.
It was okay. For
me, it was really tough.
It was okay. It was the motion stuff that kind of bugged me about it.
There was motion stuff?
Yeah, you had to move your Vita to like aim where you're...
Maybe that's why I messed up so much.
And this one has that too.
So, but with your controller?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was like, fuck that. And I went to the options and immediately removed the sensitivity for the motion controls.
Oh, so you can just turn it off?
Yeah, I'm just using the joystick now. But it's really cool.
How does it look? I haven't seen much about it at all.
It looks great, actually. Yeah? Like, the art style goes well with how the PS4 runs it and everything.
Is it still doing the sort of comic book panel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's really cool because they fixed a few things about it where like each comic panel pops up as the dialogue comes up.
Yeah.
And then when the mission starts, like font goes and says the name of the mission and then you start your mission. And it's pretty cool.
Interesting.
I like the style of it at least.
Was the demo just like dropping you in mission 3 or something like that?
No, it's like I think it's the beginning.
Oh, the very beginning?
Yeah, the very beginning. You do a few quests, you fight a few monsters, fight bosses and stuff like that.
So it felt a little smoother overall?
Yeah. Every now and then, like you can use the gravity thing where you grab all the items around you.
Yeah.
Like things that you break and stuff. And it breaks everything at the same time. So there's a lot of frame drop.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say a lot, but like it's noticeable.
You think maybe that's just going to be in the demo or you think they'll kind of figure that
that's
out?
That's going to be in the game. Yeah. Like you break so many things and a lot of debris comes out, you're going to see frame drops, but it's not that bad. It's not like, oh, the game slows down for 2 seconds. Like, no, it's like maybe half a second, if that.
Oh, that's not... I mean, even Fallout 4 has terrible frame drops for like 30 seconds at a time. Drop down to 14 FPS.
I'm interested in it, and I'll see if I'll pay for full price for it. But
yeah.
It made me really want to play the first one again, because I never finished it.
I'm assuming that team had a way bigger budget this time.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because the first one was pretty successful, especially considering it was on the Vita. I know that kind of...
Well, kinda, it was wasn't it a launch title?
With the Vita, I'm pretty sure.
So, I mean... It's I'd say it's a strong launch title, I guess.
Yeah, and I thought
it showed off
was good.
What the Vita was supposed to do.
There was just a lot going on in such a new space, like new console, new type of gameplay, and it kind of all at once was like, oh, this, you know, they try to take advantage of everything the Vita had to offer.
Right.
Which is like one of the best assets of the Vita and one of the worst at the same time. It's kind of like how every game when the PS4 first came out, they were like, let's find a way to use that pad in the middle.
Oh.
And then now everyone just uses it as like a map button.
PS3 also did that too. That was weird.
With the six axis stuff.
Yeah, I hated that. I found traces of that in Metal Gear Solid 4,
mm-hmm.
where you have to like, I think you shake it to get rid of Snake's camo.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird.
Did you ever play Infamous Second Son on PS4?
Mm-mm.
So on that, you were meant to turn the controller sideways.
Oh, for tagging and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, you shake it like a spray paint can and you push the button, which I always did. For some reason, I didn't want to hold it with two hands and shake it like this. So I always did that. But what was the other thing you played? The other demo?
The Nier Automata demo?
I have no clue what that is.
So I've never played the first Nier.
I have never heard of the first Nier.
It's an apparently it's super good and it's weird. It's a weird game. It's an RPG by Square Enix and people really wanted a sequel to it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you watched, was it last year's PSX?
I probably did or saw some of it.
And then they announced Nier Automata and everyone was like, oh, fuck, it's fucking Nier Automata.
I remember everyone shouting over the presenter.
Yeah, and so this one's being made by Platinum.
Okay.
So Bayonetta, da 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 da.
Wait,
Rising.
Bayonetta, but what's that, blah, da da da?
All the other games that you know from Platinum.
Okay.
Wonderful 101,
what?
Bayonetta.
Oh, man, I always get Wonderful 101 mixed with Mighty No. 9.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I get Wonderful 101 people.
Yeah, but it's the game, it's mostly gameplay because I'm, you know, it's a Platinum game, doesn't really have the best story.
What type of game is it?
That's
what genre.
Well, that's how, I don't know how to describe it really, because I guess Nier, I've never played Nier, but I guess that one was an RPG.
Okay.
And I'm playing this, and it feels like an action RPG.
Yeah.
But since it's made by Platinum, it feels like a character action game.
Okay.
Like a Bayonetta-ish kind of game. And it's good. It works.
So
it's
sort of hack and slashy, or
yeah, hack and slashy, but there's mechanics to it, and that like you have to do to make it work, make the combat work and stuff.
Swallow
but,
that air.
So
yep.
But there's you can level up in the game. There's loot that you can pick up and stuff like that.
So is there like a skill tree? You mean leveling up or leveling up in the RPG sense
you
of
level
your
up
defense
in the,
goes up, your attack goes up?
I think you do because you. You fight monsters, or you fight robots. This is like you fight automatons,
mm-hmm.
and you get experience for fighting them. And then I saw that during the demo, I leveled up to level 4. And it was interesting, because I've never seen that in a character action game. But like the gameplay kind of reminds me a lot of Metal Gear Rising.
Okay.
To where you had the time, or Bayonetta too, I guess. But I mean, just since you're using a katana and stuff.
Stop rubbing your foot. It's making a lot of noise. It's making so much noise.
I can see it over there.
sorry, so it's like Bayonetta 2, or what'd you say?
Bayonetta 2 or Metal Gear Rising.
Okay, and you liked Rising too, right?
Oh, I loved Rising.
You were one of, I don't know, was that a popular game?
Yeah, I'd
say I don't want to hate on it. I feel like it was a very cool idea, but you're much more into that universe than I am, the Metal Gear universe.
Yeah, it was I want you to play it, actually.
I feel like I liked it more in the like loading screens when you got to, didn't you get to just chop stuff up in the loading screens and that, oh, never mind. No. I'm thinking of something else.
I know, you can do the VR.
I'm thinking of Fruit Ninja.
Fruit Ninja?
Yeah, that's
it's similar. You do get to chop off water, chop watermelons in half.
Yeah, I feel like it's cool in the same way that I thought The Force Unleashed was cool.
Right.
Which is, it's just nuts. Like, you throw people everywhere or you can chop them into tiny bits, which is a very fun idea.
But, I mean, overall, I thought it was pretty cool, but I don't know what to make of it yet, really, because I want to play the first Nier,
yeah.
just to see what I'm like, what I can compare with or whatever, and see what why people really like Nier. It's like one of those niche games, I guess. Mm-hmm. Is that how you say niche or niche?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nietzsche. Yeah.
Nietzsche. Nippon Nietzsche.
And you said you watched a couple of movies, too?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you watch?
John Wick.
Nice.
Recommendation.
Let's talk about John Wick forever.
Jeez, man.
What do you think?
Can we talk about it? When did it come out? Was it last year?
I don't think there's really anything to spoil because
he kills a lot of people, I guess.
Yeah, right? I mean, everyone knows that. So John Wick, he kills a lot of people and he goes on a revenge mission ostensibly because these people kill his dog. And that's in the first
and
like
stole his car.
And stole his car, which he also likes very much. But they talk about that. Well, that happens in the first 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
So there's no spoilers to be had because I doubt Jose even knows the name of the guy at the end or anything
John
like
Wick.
That. Yeah, it was John Wick.
Vito, right?
I don't remember. It doesn't matter. We're not going to talk about it anyway.
Yeah, too late. I mean, I said his last name.
But we won't talk about the ending. But yeah, I love John Wick, bro.
It's a great movie. I don't usually like movies.
At all?
At all. Like, I don't like going to the movies. I mean, once I'm there...
I love movies.
Once I'm there, it's fine.
I feel like an old person in the way that I still love going to the movie theater. It's a great experience for me. I'm always there like, yeah, because it's the only time. If I watch a movie at home, I'm going to be checking Twitter. I'm going to be doing whatever because I'm a little scumbag millennial.
Well, that's probably why I like movies at home is because I like doing two things at once.
Yeah, but it gives you a chance to really enjoy it.
Well, I watched John Wick without touching anything.
Yeah.
Because that movie was great. Like, if the movie makes me not want to do anything...
Yeah.
That means the movie's going to catch my... Like, it's really good.
In the same way, whenever I watch a movie and I'm not thinking about how long it's been going, that's how I know I like the movie.
Right.
Like, when I saw The Force Awakens and I really liked it, at no point was I thinking, oh, it's been 2.5 hours already. I was just like, this is good. But yeah, John Wick... Did you see any of the videos of Keanu training for that stuff?
I've heard that they actually trained him with actual guns, right?
Yeah, and he does like competitive gun stuff. I don't know too much about it.
Like skeet shooting or?
Kind of. It's like murdering. It's like crazy target practice type stuff, which is if you watch any of the videos where, you know, stuff pops up and. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, marksman, yeah. God, just the sheer amount of murder in that. And
oh my God. Like, no one got away.
Yeah, and he is at the same time almost seemingly invincible and extremely realistic. He does get injured.
A lot.
One of my favorite things, I can't even remember if it was, yeah, it was him when he's in the nightclub and he gets thrown like over the railing. Mm-hmm. And he falls flat on his back. The way they do that camera shot, because any other shot would do like that sort of bounce shot where it hits the ground and then they're like, oh, we need to catch back up.
Yeah.
But instead he just hits it and the camera stops.
And when they usually do those kinds of falls, they do them from the top angle too.
Yeah.
So like it doesn't show you how hard that person fell.
Yeah. And that was just, it was so good.
Oh, man.
I love that entire movie. And the idea, that poor puppy at the beginning, that like crawls
beagle.
Next to it.
Yeah. Did he crawl next to him? I thought they dragged him towards him.
I don't even remember. But
I think he probably crawled. If he did crawl, that's even sad.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He wanted to be with John Wick before he went.
God.
But great cast.
I didn't know there were that many like famous people in there.
Yeah.
Like Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
Even though every time I saw him, I just kept thinking Spider-Man.
Yeah. You thought of...
Green Goblin.
Yeah, I was gonna say Doc Ock.
Who else is in there? I forget his name, the mechanic guy.
No clue. John Leguizamo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was gonna say the Sloth from Ice Age.
Yeah, that's him.
But I didn't want to like undermine him.
Or Sloth.
Yeah.
But it was
Sid, by the way.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
It was a very good movie. You know, they're coming out with a comic book series now, right?
Really?
Yeah, in 2017. I'm interested, although I also really like Fight Club, the movie, and they came out with Fight Club 2.
I need to watch Fight Club.
Yeah, I think you should. Mm-hmm. That's one of my recommendations today. Yeah. I have more. But Fight Club 2 came out as a comic book, and it didn't grab me as much. And I think the general consensus is it wasn't very good. It was a very cool idea to have the sequel to a book/movie be a comic book. Like, that's the sequel to it.
Right.
And that was a really cool idea, but it just wasn't very good, I guess.
But, man, that movie was insane.
What else did you watch aside from The Wick Man?
Yo-Kai Watch.
Okay.
The movie.
They have a movie? They probably have 10 movies by now.
Okay, it's so weird. Like the movie was good. I liked the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the dubbing was very weird to me.
You're a sub guy.
Well, no, not even that. It's just that...
No, I mean, like, your girlfriend's a dom and you're a sub.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. And so the voice actor, I believe, for the main character is Johnny Yong Bosch, which is the Black Power Ranger.
Okay.
And then he also voices a lot in anime. So I hear him everywhere, pretty much.
Yeah.
And he also voices... another character, and then he voices another character. So he voices three characters that are all together all the time. So it's really weird to me. And like this movie takes place in Japan,
mm-hmm.
and everything's like extremely Japanese. They're going to like the rural parts of Japan and stuff like that. And the kid comes out and his name's Nate. And his grandpa's named Nathaniel.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, whatever, right? But it's just like, kind of the situations like in the old Pokemon series where Brock comes out and he pulls out a rice ball and he's like, look at this jelly donut.
Is that really what happened?
Yes.
Oh, weird.
And it's like, it's for kids. And I feel like kids are, I guess, aren't cultural.
Yeah. And they're stupid because they haven't had a chance to be, they haven't had a chance to learn anything.
So I'm just like, that's kind of weird to me, but it's, It's a, definitely a kid's movie. Definitely yes. a kid's movie.
I mean, inarguably, it's funny, though. All of the Pokemon movies are, too. I know people like Pokemon, but they ostensibly make those for children.
But, I mean, like, the older movies were more... I don't know. It felt more... I don't know how to explain it, but it was more impactful, I guess. And then now the new movies are kind of just more childish.
A lot of fluff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. Did you know there are 21 Pokemon movies?
Really?
There's been, like... On average,
I really only remember like 4 or 5 of them.
Yeah, Pokemon is like 21 years old or something like that, and there are 21 movies, which is an average of one movie a year, which is insane. Yeah. But anyway, back to Yo-Kai Watch.
But
Nate Nathaniel.
Nate Nathaniel. It's a pretty good movie. I'm pretty sure I spoiled the plot of the second game for myself though, because I think that's what the movie was.
Really? You think they would do that?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Because all the characters that are in that. Are in the cover of the second game.
So it's not like Pokemon where that game has no link to the show, basically.
I don't know. I honestly have no clue.
Okay. Like, so you haven't played either of the games. Wait, you played the first one.
I played the demo of the second one because I wanted to test it out.
Okay.
And I might be buying the first one because I really like the combat system for
and
that game.
And what's the conceit of it? I know it's similar-ish to Pokemon in the way that they're weird creatures and you keep them in your watch as opposed to in a ball?
Yeah, pretty much. You call them with your watch with these little, like coins, like little pogs.
Yeah.
And you have a wheel.
Hold on, before you continue, pog stands for fat ass white girl. Hopefully everyone knows that.
It's P-A-W-G, right? Yeah, buddy. Pog.
Anyway, high five. All right, continue.
But, but you have like a wheel on the bottom of your screen.
Yes.
And you can hold, I believe, up to 6. So 3 on top and 3 on the bottom.
Same as Pokemon.
Yeah, but instead of switching them out, like Pokemon and you lose a turn, you turn the wheel to the position that you want it in. So if you have 3 up here, but you don't want this third one, you move it over to get the other third one.
Like a Rubik's Cube of
sorts. And it's all like, I don't understand the combat system too much yet because I didn't play it a lot. But it's interesting because they attack while you wait.
So
it's just like an active battle system where it just... goes by itself for a bit, and then you're just in charge of spinning the wheel and then pressing like their special attacks and stuff, and it's really interesting.
I might have to check that out. I don't think I'll like it, but I will check it out. Yeah, I might as well, right?
Yeah.
Any other movies? You said you watched a lot. Is that two? Is that a lot?
I watched half of Spectre, of 007 Spectre.
Oh yeah.
And they mentioned Skyfall a lot. So I was like, well, I should probably watch Skyfall first. So I stopped halfway through the movie.
Well, are you sure they're not just referencing the place?
I don't know.
So Skyfall is the name of a place in the movie Skyfall.
Yeah, but like the lady comes in and says, here's a briefcase. And this came from Skyfall. And there's this lady who I guess is dead now.
Mm-hmm.
So I should probably watch Skyfall.
Yes. So what I would say
What's Quantum of Solace, the one that came before that?
No. So it went Casino Royale.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that.
Which is apparently the best one of the Daniel Craig's.
Really?
We should try to set up a time for us to both watch that. I've never watched a Daniel Craig Bond movie. A lot of them were just on Hulu and just got taken off.
Really?
I went back and watched the Brosnans because... I was a kid when the Brosnans were going on, so I was like, yeah, why not? And they're all pretty bad. But it was fun to watch and fun to see the bad acting and hear the music and everything. we should do that. What
I'd
else?
I'd be down for that.
What
but,
else?
But I want to say something. Do you think Daniel Craig is a good Bond?
Absolutely.
Was Bond always like that, though?
Well, I mean...
Like, bad at his job?
You think he's bad at his
Spectre,
job?
Because the beginning of Spectre, he fucks up a lot.
Well, Spectre, yeah, so what am I thinking? Yeah, Spectre's the newest one.
Because, like, that's the only reference of Bond that I have is...
Yeah, so I actually, I know nothing about Spectre, so
it
essentially goes Casino Royale into Quantum of Solace, into Skyfall, and then into Spectre. And then he said, guys, I know I am contracted for another one, but I'm not going to do it. And then they were like, what if we gave you, like... $50 million or whatever. And he's like, okay, I'll come back for 3 of them. And that's what happened recently. But no, I would say I think he's the best Bond. So I know a lot of people think of Connery because they think of James Bond, that guy. Yes. But then there's like George Lazenby, which no one really cared about. Peter Moore.
Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage. And then there was, I can't even think of the other ones right now. But yeah, I think he's never been good because James Bond is a spy. He's never been a spy. He's been an assassin.
Really?
So, yeah, like James Bond is considered a spy.
Spy movies.
Yeah, he's supposed to be a spy. My point being, he's terrible at being a spy.
Yeah, that's okay.
There are very few moments. It's kind of in Daniel Craig's movies, the conceit is more so, no, you're an assassin now.
Right.
You go and you kill people, because the idea of a spy is like espionage, which kind of used to happen, but then it basically turns into killing a bunch of people.
Because the only groundwork for spy movies, or at least James Bond movies that I have, is Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
Three.
Because of, like... Because
that's what it was based off of.
Oh, okay.
And in Metal Gear Solid 3, you can go throughout the whole game without killing anybody, without anybody seeing you. So I'm like, well, maybe it's something like that.
Yeah.
I know.
No, it's very now different.
A lot of action.
Yeah, I watched GoldenEye fairly recently because I was thinking about the game and stuff. And then it was weird watching GoldenEye and seeing locales from the game. That was really fun.
But
silence. Anything else?
Well, I still want to keep talking about this, because didn't they say, I know I've seen a lot of the posters where it's like diversify your bonds.
Yes.
And people talking about Idris Elba
mm-hmm.
playing
Idris Elba,
yeah, playing a Bond. Mm-hmm. I think I'd be down for that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think the
Mainly
biggest thing
like
is
one of my biggest man crushes.
Yeah, he's great. But now the biggest thing is that by time Daniel Craig is done, which, like I said, is three more movies, which is at least 5 or 6 more years.
Right.
Idris Elba is going to be, like, even now people are saying he's too old to be Bond. And
who, Daniel Craig or Elba?
No, Idris Elba. So if we go another 6 years, then maybe even more so. But I think he looks like a pretty young guy.
Oh, yeah.
And in the novels and in the movies, his general age is between like 38 and 45.
Really?
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
And oh, Daniel Craig, like 50?
He's around that, yeah.
Okay,
and
really?
In the novels, it's funny when you go back to the earlier Bonds, he goes to visit his wife's grave, and it says, I don't remember, I think it said she was born in 1929.
Nope.
And basically, all of these James Bonds are the same guy. So, James Bond, there are never different Bonds, never different 007s. They're just different actors portraying
really?
James Bond. Yeah.
I thought they were just different agents that were trained
no.
to be... Really?
They're all James Bond. They're all one guy.
That's upsetting.
Why is that upsetting? That's
amazing.
Because
I thought it was just like they're passing on the mantle to the next best agent.
And giving them a new name?
Yes.
Of James Bond?
Because they're agents. It's like the whole Men in Black thing where they had to burn off their fingerprints and they're just Agent K or Agent J.
Yeah, but it really seemed like their names in Men in Black were based on their last name.
Yeah.
So... But no, it's always James Bond, always 007. It's just different people portraying him.
Hmm.
So that's kind of that with that.
Okay.
Sorry to break your heart.
It's okay. Damn.
I'm waiting for you to... Anything else?
Not that I can think of, really.
No?
No.
That was your movie marathon?
My movie marathon.
You played all of those games and watched all those movies in one day, I bet.
No.
Okay.
I played the demos... Today, though. I mean, yesterday.
Okay.
Because that's when they came out.
I played Mirror's Edge Catalyst for the first time yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And we have sort of a history with Mirror's Edge.
Yep.
Where I played and beat it maybe 30 times. And one of those, well, many of those times, again, at your place, as teenagers.
Bored.
Yeah, I'm playing that while you're on your Mac doing whatever. I don't even know what you were doing at the time.
Probably playing, like, Stepmania or something.
Yeah, probably. And collecting all the bags and all of that. And then at one point you kind of accused me of stealing it because it had disappeared or something.
No, was it Mirror's Edge? I think it was something else.
No, it was Mirror's Edge.
I didn't accuse you of stealing it.
You
said
definitely did.
And then you did.
No, I didn't.
You told me you did.
No, I joked about it.
Okay.
Because you saw I had like GamerScore on the Xbox 360 and I told you I did. But no, I just downloaded it.
Oh, you fucker.
Because they have a sale on that like every 2 days for $3. And I was like, yeah, why not? So no, I don't have it. But anyway, I played Catalyst downloaded that yesterday. Super cheap because I'm a cheap boy.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty fun. I'm down with it so far. It's weird being open world. I don't know if that's necessarily the structure that fits it best. And it's a prequel to the original one. So now you're even younger. You just get out of juvenile.
juvenile.
Yeah, it says, to see how Faith got in juvie, read the comic Exordius or whatever. So it's trying to
get
me to...
Did you read the comic?
No, not a chance. I'm like, she committed a crime probably. But she was in there for like over a year or something. Like something crazy.
Is that how juvie works?
I have
no
clue.
Or is that too crazy for juvie?
Too crazy for juvie. The movie we're writing that's rated NC-17.
Oh.
But she... You get out and you start, of course, running around. The runner vision's a little different. It doesn't really hold your hand the whole time, but it can kind of give you hints when you need to. Combat system is way better than it was, because it was god-awful in the first one. It's still not great.
So I always thought when playing Mirror's Edge, I always thought that they should get rid of the combat and make you completely vulnerable to anything, and then just concentrate on running.
So what they did is they kind of took a middle ground in between actual combat and doing kind of what you said, which is as you're running, you build focus.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you do certain things, you can basically take them down. So let's say you're running and you jump off of something and there's someone below you. You can hit square as like your soft attack, which basically means you land on them, knock them down, but they're not dead or anything. And you can just, you keep your same speed. So you're not fighting them or anything like that. Or you can hit triangle, which is you like stomp on them and try to murder them, basically. So as you're running, you it's better for you to hit square and just sort of knock them down, scoot them out of the way. Yeah, they have different ways of like just kind of shoving them out of the way or shoving them into other people, so you don't have to fight, really.
Huh.
It's a really good balance, I think. And I think it got a little too much hate, honestly. It didn't get very well reviewed.
I feel like the people that gave it too much hate didn't spend too much time with it.
Possibly. And who knows, I might spend a lot of time with it and end up hating it.
I know I've heard that a lot of the later game stuff is the best stuff.
Yeah, I think my biggest gripe with it is I started playing it kind of having muscle memory from the first one.
Oh yeah, so are like the groundwork still there? Or?
So here's the thing, is now there are upgrades to your abilities.
Okay.
So there are upgrades
to your... So you don't get like all your skills like right off the bat?
You get like 11 out of 20 is what it shows you on the skill tree.
So how far did you make it into it?
I'm about 2 hours in, maybe.
Okay, so like, you don't have any skills that you for sure say that are necessary for you to have an enjoyable experience with it, or?
Not necessarily. The biggest thing I noticed is, you remember when you used to jump down and you'd hit like L2 or the left trigger?
Yeah.
And you would roll?
Mm-hmm.
You don't start with that.
Really?
Yeah. So what you do is you just sort of land, and you still have to press it, but you just stumble, which slows you down. So it's weird that they took something out of the original one, a mechanic out of the original one, and said, now you have to gain experience to get it. So there's some later upgrade stuff that I think is really cool and that I'm fine with upgrading toward, because the conceit of this is that you have some sort of this machine on your wrist or whatever that allows you to have runner vision or allows you to find different waypoints and stuff like that. So I don't mind upgrading that stuff, but taking a mechanic out of the original is really weird.
So. Like, next thing you know, you're going to have to grab on, and then, like, for you to climb back up, you're going to need a skill for that.
Yes.
Really?
No.
Oh, damn.
And then aside from that, I watched a movie as well.
Which one?
Don't Breathe.
Oh, I want to know about that.
Okay, so you know the idea, these three kids who are robbing a blind guy.
Yeah, and I find that really weird that they're kind of making the old guy the bad guy.
Well, if you watch it, you will not think that anymore.
Okay, I was about to say, because I'm like, they're breaking into his house. He's blind.
So I'll talk about it for a second, and then I'll give a little spoiler warning if anyone wants to skip forward like 2 minutes, okay?
All right.
So three kids come together. The main protagonist, which is this girl, wants to get out of Detroit and move to California.
As everybody does.
Yes, okay. Unfortunately. Sorry, Detroit. I
was just talking about California.
Oh, no. California's god-awful. I'd rather be in Detroit. Good luck to everyone in Detroit. Good luck to everyone who needs clean water. It's a travesty, not to get too much into that. Anyway, so they're like, let's break into this guy's house. He's like ex-military. His wife is dead. So he lives on his own, and he's blind. And they're like, we're going to rob a blind guy. And then the cool guy with like a neck tattoo is like, he might be blind, but he's not a saint. And then so they go in. They notice he has all these like deadlocks on the deadbolts on his door. They end up getting in. And at one point, this guy fires a gun through a bottle as a silencer. Doesn't necessarily work, into the basement so they can get this. And they're basically just running around the whole time. This blind guy has, like, better senses. He ends up turning off the light, and he's like, now you see what I see. And he's trying to kill these kids.
Hmm.
And this is the part where it gets... Do you want me to spoil it for you?
I don't know, because I want to watch it.
But... Yeah, I won't then. But okay. It's very interesting, and it has one thing in it that I've never seen in any horror movie, or suspense thriller, whatever you want to call it, that will probably never be in another one ever again.
Hmm.
And it's fantastic.
Is that the spoiler?
No.
Okay, then go for it.
No. No, it'll give too much away. It'll give too much away. If you want to know later, I can, but that'll give too much away.
Okay, then I'll just watch it. Is it on Netflix or?
No, man, I rented that. You can get it from Redbox, but I rented it from iTunes because the Redbox wasn't working.
You think it's on PlayStation?
Maybe. I don't know, man.
That's where I actually watched John Wick.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe.
It works.
Who knows? So, going on with their whole movie thing, what did we see yesterday?
Rogue One.
A Star Wars Story.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think that's it. Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. So, as you may have heard in our little whispery intro, we're not going to spoil anything. At a certain point, we will, but we'll cut that out and we'll throw it after our outro music. So, don't worry about getting any Rogue One spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen it yet. So, first off, what'd you think, baby?
About Rogue One?
No, about everything
Or
else.
The theater, because fuck that theater.
Why?
These freaking seats are not made for anybody who has longer legs than a foot.
Yeah, that's every theater, though.
But these were bad.
How do you think I feel? My legs are longer than
exactly,
yours.
Exactly, but mine hurt. So I was like, well, Scott's probably gonna ready to cut him off.
Yeah, I find it's different angles to sit in as a long-legged man. But as far as the movie goes, though.
It was...
Oh, good. Boy, I'm already disappointed in
it. It was good, but I have stuff I want to talk about it, you know what
okay.
I mean?
Okay, should I... So let's talk about the stuff that's not spoilery that okay. You liked. What do you got?
I like the setting a lot, actually.
All of the settings? They went to 39
they
planets
went to, like,
in 10 minutes.
Planets, yeah. No, it's just certain...
Named
and
every
I like
single one.
Certain actors as well that were in it.
Diego Luna,
definitely, yeah. Diego Luna. I didn't know he was in it.
No,
and then I actually came home either. And I told my mom, and she was like, yeah, no, he was in it. He was talking, and apparently they interviewed him in one of their TV shows that they watch, and they asked him, so are you embarrassed about your accent? And he was like, no, because that's what it's about. That we're supposed to show that there are different people out there. There are different people in the universe. It's so much, like, diverse, and they cast, like, Donnie Yen and all that stuff.
That's what I really like about the newer Star Wars, is that it shows that basically no matter what your race or your gender right. or your species, we can all be at war forever.
Right? Yeah, together, though.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I really do like that, seeing that. I know a comedian I really like, Kumail Nanjiani, who's mm-hmm. Pakistani, was talking about one of the protagonists whose name in the, you know, the guy I'm talking about, he was the Imperial pilot that sort of switched up.
This movie?
Yes.
Yeah,
the movie we're talking about.
Well, no, because I thought you were talking about episode 7, because there's also.
No, I'm talking about Rogue One.
Yeah, I don't know his name.
Yeah, I don't either. But either way, he was like, oh, it's so good to see a brown guy be the good guy in a movie,
yeah,
which you don't see often. And I don't know that guy.
Well, same with episode 7 with Poe Dameron.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, especially in this one, which we'll talk about that later.
Right, right.
But, so, you said you liked Diego Luna.
Yeah.
Okay.
The droid was pretty cool.
K2SO.
Is that his name?
Yes. So, he was great. He was a hacked and turned Imperial droid. Hacked and turned, baby. That's my new style of music.
Is that a spoiler?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. Hmm. He's just a new droid. And it's funny, Force Awakens, I was like, I love BB-8. And then this one comes out, and I'm like, I love K2SO.
I think this one's my favorite.
I think so. He's very cool. I call him Quipbot 9000
<Yeah. laughs>
because that's his whole thing. But he, yeah, I liked him quite a bit. It was fun. I think they found a good balance. There was only, there's only one moment in the movie that really made me cringe, which,
we'll talk about
later. Jesus. What else? What else did we like? There was, okay, first of all, Jyn Erso, she was great.
Yeah, she was really good, actually.
So, I really liked her. I really liked the sort of the time jump. A lot of people are kind of hating on the soundtrack of it. the orchestration of it.
One thing that bugged me, like at the beginning, and we'll get back to the soundtrack thing. Didn't you find the font weird at the beginning where it said Rogue One?
Because it was like hollow or whatever?
It was like hollow, but I don't know. It just seemed really cartoony to me.
I didn't think so, but they're also trying to really diversify it from the Star other Wars. Ones to show that it's not Star Wars. It's a Star Wars story, which is why this is the first one without an opening crawl. And that's why it also didn't have that music in it. It sounded like it was going to start similar, the whole and then it kind of went off differently. But the guy who did the orchestration for it only had 4 weeks.
Really?
Yes, because they switched up at a certain point, and he had like 4 or 6 weeks to do everything.
Why?
I don't know. There were issues.
That much money and like time.
But I mean, they didn't have time. They had a deadline they had to reach.
But I thought they had this prepared for a while. Like,
but I'm saying there were issues with the original guy who did all the music. And if at any point there's a disagreement, you can't just say, okay, well, we're going to use your music that we already have.
And who directed this one? You know any?
I have no clue, actually.
Do you know who directed episode 7?
That was J.J. Abrams.
Okay. Do you know if he's going to direct the other?
I don't believe he is. I think it's going to be a new director each time, man. From what I hear. And did you like The Force Awakens?
I liked it, yeah.
Oh, God, you're the worst.
Why?
It was good. It was a good movie.
It was a good movie, but well, like...
You're like, I don't know.
Well, no, because I have to talk about it to get the point across to you, because I can't really say anything. Well, maybe about The Force Awakens.
Yeah, Force Awakens been a while. We're calling...
If you haven't watched, then you probably don't like Star Wars.
Or you probably just don't care as much.
But there's something you need to know about me. I like Star Wars.
Yes.
I grew up with it.
Yes.
But I'm more of an Indiana Jones guy.
That's fine, but that doesn't mean...
Space, like, you know me, even like the games that I play, how many of them are sci-fi?
Well, I mean, that's a pretty broad thing. Most of them would be considered sci-fi.
Because I guess,
if you play
like,
our Final Fantasy
space
sci-fi...
opera kind of thing.
You love Dead Space, that's about it.
I don't like Dead Space.
You did love it.
I did love it when I thought it was scary, then I realized it wasn't. But a lot of them are like fantasy or like, you know...
Which is science fiction. Anyway...
Is it science fiction?
Yeah, man.
Wouldn't it be like fantasy fiction?
No.
Unless are dragons science?
It's science fiction. Science fiction just
means
that... Well,
when you go to a bookstore and you look for science fiction, are you going to find like the Witcher novels there?
Absolutely.
Or are you going to find them in the fantasy one where I found them last time?
But the whole point being that science fiction
like,
means...
No point in like semantics and stuff. You know what I'm talking about, though,
okay,
right?
I guess.
But like it's... I mean, I still like Star Wars. I love Star Wars. I like a lot of the... dumb stuff that they do with the lightsabers and the retcons and all that stuff, but it's I like the movies, just you know.
What was your favorite Star Wars movie?
Oof.
You liked episode
4.
Oh, so the very first one ever?
Yeah.
I don't think that's anyone's favorite.
I think that's my favorite. I don't know, because the whole Battle of Hoth thing is really fucking cool.
As more of these movies
five,
come
right?
out, I don't remember. I'm not even gonna lie. I haven't grown up the hugest Star Wars fan, or I never even tell people, hey, I like Star Wars, because they'll be like, well, how do you feel about this thing on that thing? And I'll be like, okay, I don't love it that much. I'm sorry. I don't know all the canon and everything.
But like for me, for like Star Wars, all of my interests lie nowhere near the movies.
What does that mean?
Like I want to know what happens before the movies.
Read the books.
I want to look, but they're not canon anymore, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean they're still
but like,
there.
I have looked into certain things. Like I want to know about the Old Republic. I want to know what happened in between 2 and 3, three and 4, which Rogue One, which is why I was very interested in Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of my favorite Siths are, I guess, in the older ones, but yeah, Asajj Ventress.
I liked them both.
I'm not saying I'd like hate him or anything. I like him a lot, but it's just
I'm one of those people who I like the prequels. They're fun. They're all fun movies.
I didn't like the first one.
It's one of those things where it's not all of them are perfect. None of them are perfect, actually. But anyone who's like, I only watch, you know, the original three or only care about the original three, and those are the only ones that matter. I'm like, I disagree,
man. I mean, they
man.
Can say that, but I mean, I don't think they realize that 1, 2, and 3, and then 4, 5, and 6, and 7 are now, like, the actual canon ones. And, like, they're going to have to deal with that.
They're just, like, some Star Wars truthers, kind of, who...
There's always going to be someone like that.
Yeah,
somewhere.
They only want those to exist, and that's fine. I understand where those people are coming from, but I've never been one to be so attached to a fiction that it bothers me if it goes too far out of that realm. But that's just me, I guess. And this is a part where we will go into spoilers.
Right.
And I'll, like I said, I'll throw it in at the end, so don't worry about it. You don't have to skip forward or anything or shut it off. Please don't shut it off. Okay. So on to news of the week.
News of the week.
Our favorite little section. All right. So first and foremost, Tracer's a big gay.
So, oh, man. People are stupid.
People are stupid. I agree.
But I don't know, man.
It's upsetting matter.
Because, like, I get it that...
Let's clarify. What's upsetting? Not that she's gay.
Yeah, right, okay, right. Yeah. Like, why does that change anything about the character?
Because...
You know what I mean?
Because all of these dudes think they had a chance to fuck a fictional character. Tracer? Yeah, and now they can't because not only is she gay, which is one strike against her, but she also... doesn't exist.
Oh, that's a bummer. That's a shame.
So all these weird greasy dick dudes
no
who wanted to have sex with this fictional character are all mad that now she's gay. This is the most political we're ever going to get. It's not political at all.
Video game characters?
Think, no, but I just mean, like, I remember before we started, we were like, how much are we going to get into, like, issues? But this is one I'm fine with.
I just thought it was dumb because we got into the whole race thing last time with Prototype 2. And, like, come on.
Well,
come
on. And we're allies. We like LGBTQ plus people. We like people of other races. We're good people. We're great people. You should love us. No, but... Yeah, we were just, that's what I was thinking of last week. And I feel like I got a tweet from last week that was like, hey, if you want people to listen, don't talk about race.
Right.
And I was like, no, we'll talk about that however much we want. Jose's brown.
I'm brown. Yeah.
I'm white. I have a ton of representation in video games. But my thing with Tracer being gay in the fiction, because it is fiction, so who really cares? My thing is, cool, make everyone gay. Make every third person gay. Make someone trans.
I'm on Tumblr every now and then.
Yes.
There's a lot
looking
of
at
like...
porn. The best place to
no
get it.
No comment on that. But
Reddit and Tumblr for my porn.
Tip my penis Reddit. Yeah, buddy. There's a lot of Hanzo and McCree stuff.
Yeah, well, people always ship...
And fuck it. They're both hot.
But the thing is, so the majority of gamers are men.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
The majority of gamers are men. So the idea of, I don't want to fuck this guy. So if he's gay, that's fine. But they made this, like, a quote-unquote attractive, like, video game girl gay, and now people are blowing up. And a lot of people are being like, oh, it's part of the liberal agenda to get me used to, I don't know, women who are gay.
Like, if you're worried about the liberal agenda, don't play, like, Blizzard games. Apparently, they're super fucking chill. They're, like, the chillest guys out there.
A lot of developers are.
Yeah.
Here's what I was talking to my girlfriend Whitney recently, is people talk about liberal agendas or whatever in art in general. So in movies and in TV and whatever. And it's like, you know why? Because liberal people make art.
Bah.
You don't hear about,
that's
like...
Who else does art?
Exactly, because every conservative, and I say this with love in my heart, but every conservative... No, this is what I was getting at when I said I'm going to say a word that I don't say. In high school, we weren't necessarily arty or anything, but we were constantly being called fags and stuff.
Right.
And so if you have these people who are making fun of these, like, drama nerds and all these people who are... you know, want to be artists and everything. These are the liberal people. They're being
called...
All
these drama nerds are making movies now, though.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm saying. So we don't have some jockey dude who called us gay all the time out there making art. If it is, he's spray painting swastikas onto my garage or something. So
it's a real nice swastika out there,
it
buddy.
It is pretty nice. He did a good job. But that's my whole point when I was talking to her is, of course, I don't think there's an agenda behind it, but it is a lot of liberals. Games are art.
And
liberals
we were talking
make
about
art.
It earlier. The representation of a certain race makes someone feel good about themselves.
Yes.
And not necessarily a race here, right? But it's like there's people out there that probably need stuff like this.
So that goes along with my other point of... they made her gay.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? I'm down with that. And you know what? It doesn't affect me at all. But you know who it does affect? Gay girls, gay women who want representation in games. And to have that and to feel like you're part of a community, because we talked about this fairly recently. The gaming community is still very toxic. There are still a lot of people who are really good people who just like to play games. I think a lot of people are like us, where we like to play games, and guess what? We don't like to call people names when we play shooters or
right,
whatever.
Right, right.
But that does exist. That's still a huge... But that's like, a vocal minority,
so
I should
weird.
Say.
Like, did you read the like that comic?
No, I didn't.
So
I didn't.
It's a Christmas comic.
Yes, I saw like the two panels
and
that show
it's
she has
super nice. Because it just revolves around Tracer finding a present for her girlfriend. And they don't say that she was looking for a present for her girlfriend.
Yeah.
Until she goes over there. Ooh, excuse me. And then Winston's like, oh, I guess I'm spending Christmas by myself. And then they get visited. And he gets visited by them. And I'm like, an ape.
Yeah.
It's like, he has no fucking problem with that.
Yeah.
And then everybody else does.
And apes are notable
right,
sexist
right.
and racist.
Yeah.
No. No, but yeah, it's exactly that point of it doesn't matter, but it does matter to people who
yeah.
it matters to. Let it matter to people that it affects. Because here's my thing, and I had a conversation that maybe we'll talk off mic about with our friend Jonathan.
Oh, God.
And no, it was a
okay,
fine
okay.
conversation.
So
it was similar. But let's say you played a game that you got so into.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you played Overwatch for 10 years and you love it. You read all this stuff about it. And then all of a sudden they say, you know what? D.Va, she's trans. At one point she was a man. She transitioned into being a woman and she's trans. And then you go, I hate everything now.
Yeah, like,
it's over.
All these years of playing Overwatch is done.
And you're like, and if you're one of those people who wants to be like, oh, they made her trans, which means that now she's trans. It's like, no, in the fiction to them, she was always trans.
Right, right.
You were always playing as a trans character, and now you care because someone said it. So if you are worried about the fiction of this, that means that Tracer has always been gay since this game has come out.
Like, Overwatch to me, like, it's a great game, but like one of the biggest things that I've noticed from it is that I think it's probably doing the best thing at representing a lot of people.
Yes.
Like, we got people from different races, different countries, different species.
And there have been some issues with, like, different skins and stuff
that are
a little iffy. But, yeah, I think it's good to have this representation.
Definitely.
And any of these people who are, like, upset about this character being gay, first of all, take a step back, bro. Check it out. This is fake in the first place. But also, it's 2016, man. Like gay people, there's a gay if you're anywhere in the world, there's a gay person 30 feet away from you, so you might as well get used to it.
Right.
And I'm down with LGBTQ stuff. If you want to say, hey, guess what, Lara Croft, she's gay. If you want to say, guess what, Nathan Drake, he didn't fall in love with that woman, he's gay. If like, I don't care. If anything, I'm like, that's a more rich backstory than I thought
right.
it was, because I thought it was just another straight white dude. And guess what? It's not. This is cool. So that's my point. Let's go on that rant. What were we going to say about that?
So I found this post on like one of the Overwatch forums.
Yes.
And it caught my eye because the title was like, oh, god damn it.
Oh.
So I was like, does Blizzard need to shove it down our throats like that? And it continues on. So are you aware of the characters in Overwatch?
Not a ton.
Okay. So I'll explain to you after it. So that was the title of it.
I know a lot of them. Let's put it that
okay.
way.
I like to think of myself as a pretty open-minded person, but seriously, I didn't need to see that. Now, every time I see Torbjorn's disgusting little face in the game, I'm going to be reminded that his wife and 87 children, I didn't need to know that he had sex with hundreds of times to produce an army of kids. But thanks, Blizzard. That image is now burned into my brain. This was completely unnecessary, and I'm really disappointed. Don't think I can call Blizzard my favorite company anymore after this. So it was like obviously like a sarcastic thing. Do you know who Torbjorn is?
He's the big like Viking-ish looking
He's
man.
Small
He's small,
Viking,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And
he has like an eye patch.
Yeah,
thing.
And in the comic, in the Christmas comic, there's a lot of kids there, and
yeah.
they're all his. They're assumed to be his, and he's with his wife. And you know, there's the joke on that saying, like, kind of saying like
it's the same thing. You want
yeah.
to compare those two things.
Like, but like it's like in a joking way, saying like leading people on. And
yeah,
it kinda cool.
And it's so people are dumb. Get with it. It's about to be 2017.
Right.
Things are chill as fuck now. We like gay people. Don't be a dick. Anyway.
Anyway.
Nintendo Switch, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So what do we find out
about the CPU and the GPU stuff?
Yeah. So it is. It looks like we found out the undocked version of it. runs about 40% of the speed of the docked version.
Right, which was what I was trying to tell you last time, I think.
What? Was that's that what you thought docked, would happen?
Well, no, that's what we knew, is that when you dock it, it runs better.
Yeah, that, I mean, that part was obvious, yeah. But we're talking about almost half undocked.
It makes sense.
Well, yeah, I mean, it makes sense why they do it, mm-hmm. which is to conserve battery life for the most part. And then, of course, because there's no real limitations to the device, because I don't think there's anything really extra in the dock itself, but a 40% decrease is pretty pretty considered, and that's probably
it's almost half.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. And it's still not, it's going to give you what, 3 hours of battery life?
Probably.
And what you're looking at with that is, if that was going to be so limited, why even make the Switch a thing?
Right.
Why make it able to go be out. Undocked? Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't know. It's such a weird thing to me, because I keep saying I'm not going to undock it, and I'm not.
Yeah.
But the whole draw of this system, I guess, or like the little gimmick, is that you can take it with you, or is it like a handheld device? And I just find that really weird to me, because like, why add that much? Well, why like take away that much battery power and stuff like that? And I don't know.
And it says here that as things stand, a docked Switch features a GPU with 2.5 times the power of the same unit running from the battery. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't look like that's going to change at all.
No, no.
So that's from Digital Foundry, who went through and checked everything out. And so that means you're going to be seeing what kind of frame rate on that thing?
On like the...
On the undocked Switch, on just the tablet. Something garbage.
Like, I assume they at least have to have something locked at 30.
You think?
I would hope so, because if you go anything below 30, it's not...
I think you're going to have locked at 30 docked.
No, well, yeah, a lot of games are like that now, even on PS4.
But there's no way you're getting, with the GPU and CPU being what they are, there's no way you can even get 30 frames.
Well, certain games on Vita are at 30.
But the thing, I don't even know.
It's just a matter of how they optimize the games when they're undocked. And I get what you're saying, because I don't think any of the developers are going to really worry about how it's going to run undocked.
I think they're going to have to.
Yeah, but that's kind of like the thing that messed them up with the Wii U. Was that they had to develop something for the tablet. And that's what kind of slowed the developers down and scared a lot of the third-party guys out.
Well, here's my thing with your comparison to the Vita, is that they were creating the Vita as a handheld device.
Mm-hmm.
They put stuff in it
mm-hmm.
to make it run optimally as a portable device.
Right.
They're putting tech into the Switch to have it run... according to a lot of developers, pretty nicely.
Apparently, yeah, they're gonna be able to run that thing to the ground.
Yeah, like, and at so the optimal and the thing is, they specs. Said that they're basically underclocking the GPU on this mm-hmm. thing, docked. They're underclocking it, which means it's not even reaching like its full mm-hmm. potential there. But they've created that as a home console,
right?
And to then say now we're gonna switch it up and make it undocked, that means that. They had to knock all of this down, otherwise battery's dying every 5 minutes. So the Vita comparison, they went into the Vita building a portable console.
Yeah.
They didn't do this with the Switch.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any way you're getting a locked frame rate. I think you're maxing out at 15 to 20 frames per second, intermittent.
That's so bad, though. I can see what you mean, because there's certain PS4 games or PS3 games that got released
yes.
that run fine, that have Vita ports, and they're running pretty shittily.
Yes. And that's, like I said, it's not a thing of just knowing that it is for a portable device. It's using the right tech in it.
But they specifically said that Breath of the Wild is going to run differently on the Wii U.
Yeah.
So do you think it can run what the Wii U runs on the tablet?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. I mean, one would hope, right? Because if you're getting, well, but then again, so at that point, you're looking at a first party game, though.
All right.
I think that has to be a little different, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, because, I mean, there's a lot more put into a first-party game.
And yeah, because you can design everything to know that it's going to work perfectly with
right,
that.
Right.
I didn't have any, like, graphical or frame rate issues with Super Mario 3D World. You know what I mean? And it ran perfectly
right,
fine.
Right.
But that's a first-party title that I think is going to be a little bit different when you're designing. Especially, think about if they have these anymore, games that are multi-platform for PS4, Xbox One, and the Switch.
So that's the thing that I'm worried about.
Yeah.
Is them developing for the PS4 and then Xbox, is not going to cause them to make a good port for the Switch.
Yes.
But if they're developing directly for the Switch, like that game is an exclusive for the Switch, I think they can make it work.
But then you're looking at so many fewer titles that mm-hmm. it's hard yeah. then to kind of sell the Switch to people. Right. With that, and my point kind of being, if you do a multi-platform game, which doesn't happen a ton anymore, there are a lot of exclusives or just a lot of Xbox One, PS4 games, then you're also looking at designing for the Switch and ostensibly the Switch tablet. So that's four. And then to throw in the PS4 Pro, and then to throw in the Scorpio, which mm-hmm. doesn't really have a name yet. So you're looking at basically three main consoles with three sub-consoles beneath that. And that's an incredible amount of work yeah, to actually definitely. Make anything work that way.
I don't know, man. Like, I sometimes think Nintendo's doing great things, and then I look at their decisions, and I'm like, man, I don't know much about game development. That's I'm
no,
gonna
we
say
know
that
nothing.
Now.
We know nothing, so, and we're not. We don't. But the thing is, we don't take anything away from game developers.
No,
we know
no,
that's a
not.
Ton of
it's a lot
ton
of work,
and it, a lot of people like nearly kill themselves to put out titles, and that's why we try not
but
to shit
what,
on stuff.
That's what I think, though. Like, if it's a first party thing, I think they can make a great game for it.
I agree.
Like, Bayonetta 2 was an exclusive for Wii U, and that thing runs at 60.
Yeah.
On the Wii U. So.
But you're also looking at much lower graphical output than you get out of the 720?
PS4. 20?
Yeah. And just as a whole in terms of terms of the general smoothness of the characters and everything.
I think Bayonetta might have been running at 1080.
But I'm just saying, as compare that to anything on the PS4.
Oh, no. Well, they specifically said that it wasn't going to be a powerhouse.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is the reason it can run at 60 frames per second is because it's not working with too much to run.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is like this, even they specifically said, like, no power, not a powerhouse. So I hope they can get games running at least 30.
Yeah, I don't think that'll be an issue, at least for docked. And I really do think Breath of the Wild's going to be great. I think that Seasons of whatever game we talked about last week, that should be interesting. It's more so third-party support I'm worried about, which is what Nintendo has had issues with since, I don't know, forever. So the third-party support is what worries me because I don't get a PS4 for PS4 exclusives.
Right.
I get a PS4 because I like some of the exclusives and, you know, that covers. I like more PS4 exclusives than Xbox One exclusives.
Right,
then they kind of merge in the middle with, like, Tomb Raiders and whatnot.
Right. Like, I wasn't never really a graphical kind of guy. Like, the game could look like shit. I just wanted to run like butter.
You really think you could play a game that just looks like shit?
Ever played Nidhogg?
No. Wait, yeah, I have. Well, I've seen it.
Yeah.
That was all you?
I still played freaking Dot Hack. That game doesn't look too great. I still go back and play the Mega Man X8 every now and then. That doesn't look great. Especially not on the TVs that I have.
To go back to what you're talking about kind of being disappointed in Nintendo and the thing, the decisions they make. Super Mario Run. That's, God, what a disappointment for me.
So you didn't end up buying it, I assume?
No, I did.
Oh, and?
No, oh my God, it's so limited in its spec and everything that it brought this weird in between people who are casual gamers and people willing to play games. Like, I literally just bought Mirror's Edge Catalyst for less money than I paid for Super Mario Run. Mm-hmm. Because I thought, you know, why not? I'll have it on my phone for 3 years and I'll play it at lunch, whatever. Uses up data, which is annoying. Always on internet connection.
Right, I forgot about that. That's one of the biggest things I thought that was kind of dumb about that.
Yeah, and there's two play modes, which is Tour and Rally. So Tour is you go through the same like six stages.
I walked out last week thinking highly of it by what you told me. Like,
because
it's $10, you get all the levels, you get all the stuff, but I guess.
And then I did
it. Ended up being super disappointing.
Yeah. And then I did it and I got a little more into it. You have the Kingdom Builder thing, which is super limited. I thought it was going to be
That kind of scares me, though, because the other two titles that they teased for
mobile
development was Fire Emblem and Animal Crossing.
But Fire Emblem and Animal Crossing make a lot more sense because.
Now I feel like they can still fuck it up, though.
Oh, of course, because Nintendo fucks up.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
And they fuck up because I don't think they know their market anymore.
It's tough. But as far as like Fire Emblem goes, you just said Fire Emblem, right?
Yeah.
As far as Fire Emblem goes, you could basically, you know, you can drag and drop.
Yeah.
That's no problem. With Animal Crossing, you could have a digital analog stick if you wanted to, because you're not going to have to worry about being twitchy and running into an enemy.
Yeah.
But with this, they really found a way to not make it fun.
Right. To be honest, I think
$10.
I think Animal Crossing is going to be more like a kind of like a
Happy Home Designer.
The Vault Boy thing.
Oh, maybe, and people will love
and
that.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Or maybe even like Tapped Out or something. Simpsons Tapped Out.
Yeah.
You build your Simpson City, basically.
Okay, yeah.
The houses make money and all this stuff, and then you send them on quests.
Fire Emblem, I don't think they're actually going to make like a strategy game out of that.
Really?
Yeah, because how wouldn't they? I think they want them to play the actual games.
Yeah, but this is how you merge people in. They're trying to attract casual gamers, but they're not going to do that with $10. Yeah, why else would they put out Mario on the phone?
Because everybody knows Mario.
Yeah, exactly.
Pokemon. Everybody knows Pokemon.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen. A full Pokemon game isn't going to happen.
So I can see that with Animal Crossing and Fire Emblem, because those are for people that...
Yeah, but...
I mean, when was the first time you heard about Fire Emblem?
When I was like 13.
Maybe. I heard about it when I played Smash Bros. Melee.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Two characters that were on there, and I'm like, no, it was around that time.
Yeah, it was around that same time. But my thing being, you had people who didn't play games for 30 years, still picked up this. They have an iPhone now, mm-hmm. So they saw Mario, and they were like, oh, I played Mario that long ago, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, maybe I could get into a 3DS. I think that's what they hope. They're not trying to build a huge base of mobile gamers necessarily.
Right.
I think they definitely could, but I think if you get some person really connected to Animal Crossing on the iPhone, someone will get a 3DS to get New Leaf.
Yeah,
like almost a guarantee.
It's nothing like the game.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't know. Nintendo's weird to me, and I'm always gonna be like my keyword now. Nintendo's weird to me.
Yeah, I want them to do better. I want them to succeed. Yeah. They have the ability. They have great people working with them all the time. And people, a lot of developers, third-party developers, seem hopeful. I know CD Projekt Red is hopeful with them.
Yes.
And I really want cool stuff to come from them. So let's just keep our fingers crossed. They're more than capable. So. All right, we're going loose this week. We don't have notes at all. So what are we going into next, Jose? You see that the new Atlas stuff?
Yeah.
What's going on?
So I guess the Atlas guys, I think specifically the Persona team.
Yes, I believe
they
so.
They want to create a new fantasy RPG.
Yes, it's
Or I guess a new sci-fi RPG.
Shut the fuck up. No one's going to get that because it's in the end part.
But
it's currently known as Project Re Fantasy.
Yeah, yeah, and I think their team is like Team Zero or something like that.
Yes, the number. So it's Studio Zero.
Studio Zero. Yeah,
yeah.
But I think they have the artist from Persona, Soejima, I think is his name.
Yeah, sure.
And
Hoshino? I don't know.
I think Hoshino's Soejima is the artist, I think, and then I forgot who the music guy is.
Hey, let's agree to disagree.
It's the guy from the Persona music guys and Persona art guys. And their art's great. But they have like a picture of an elf girl with red hair. Kind of looks like, I guess, from Persona 3. And yeah.
And they have a cool logo, which is the number zero with a human walking with a dog who looks like that elf girl you kind of described, I guess. It's a silhouette.
And I'm very optimistic because Atlas puts out great games.
They do. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be bad.
I mean, that being said, I have played some bad Atlas games, but I don't think they're made by Atlas. I think they're just produced by them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like Conception too. But Persona, very great game. All the Personas that I played, at least. And to see that the team wants to do something else other than Persona,
yeah,
I think is pretty great. Because I would like to see like a new combat system different from Persona and then a different setting. Because I wouldn't say I'm tired of it, but like I've played a lot of the whole Shin Megami Tensei post-apocalyptic demons angel thing, and then Persona high school boys and girls.
Yeah, so they said they want to make a complete departure from Shin Megami Tensei and Persona and return to the roots of where the Japanese games industry began with fantasy role-playing games.
Right.
I just learned to read, so I wanted to show off. And I think the idea of it's very rare that you see creating a new IP, especially new RPG IP these days.
Especially with like the team that created the Persona series, and they know that Persona's gonna
make I was gonna
the
say
money.
They know they could release 9 Personas a year.
I mean,
and
they did that 2 years ago with Persona 4.
Yeah,
they banked on Persona 4.
They made
hard.
So much money.
They got Persona 4 Q or Persona Q, which is like Persona 4 and Persona 3, Persona 4 Arena, and then Persona
Dance
4
all
Arena
night.
Again. Dancing All Night. I was playing that the other day, by the way.
How's it?
Yeah. Bland.
Bland. But
the music's great, though.
They released a little trailer showing, you know, the woods and like a crazy sort of like spire building at the top, and it doesn't tell much about the game.
I thought those were
the
just actual shots of something.
If it is, then that's beautiful. But it looks pretty realistic. I'm pretty sure it's just
well, no, that's what I meant. Like, it's actual shots, like picture shots. And
oh yeah. I thought you meant of the game.
Oh
yeah.
No, I don't think of that.
So I'm interested in this. I'd love to see something from him because I personally like Shin Megami Tensei. Not like a huge super fan, but I played it. Four was the last one I played. And I'd like to see them do something that I can jump into new and be fresh.
Have you played any of the newer ones? Shin Megami Tensei?
No, Devil Summoner was like my last one.
Okay. I think you may like 4, the one for DS.
4? I thought 4 was Devil Summoner.
No.
Okay.
Shin Megami Tensei 4 is like the actual...
Yeah.
4.
Okay.
Because the combat reminds me a lot of Dragon Quest.
Speaking of Dragon Quest, they showed off more of that. Dragon Quest 11, which... Do we have a subtitle for that at all?
I don't think so, yeah.
It is in Japanese, but I don't see I don't see anything about it. God... I want it.
Yeah, dude, that looks great. I've never played a Dragon Quest game.
Really?
Never, no.
Yeah, this one looks pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. Last one I played was Stars of Sentinel Skies or whatever it is. Do get a horse in this one. It was either 7 or 9, I don't remember. You see that horse, Jose?
Yeah,
I'm showing Jose a horse.
And I like the character design in this.
Yes, it's great. They also have this interesting thing. Did you see this?
Oh, the DS one? Yeah. They showed that a while ago, and I didn't realize it was the 11th one.
So are they saying this is how it's going to run with the bottom screen being a 2D adventure?
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. That's very cool.
And kind of want to say that you can turn it off. Ooh, excuse me.
Oh, I'm sure you can.
That way you can have a mini map.
Yeah. But it's a very cool idea.
Yeah.
And we learned that it will be on the Switch.
Yeah.
So again, guys, if that's a launch, well, that's probably not going to be a launch title. When do we think?
Well, this comes out in August, I believe, in Japan.
Oh, yeah. So
Japan.
Yeah.
So... Not gonna be a launch one.
Yeah, it's not. So yeah, it's coming out next year in Japan, and
I'm getting it for PS4.
I'm probably gonna get it for PS4.
But
as well.
Have you noticed that they haven't showed any combat?
Yeah, I guess they haven't, have they?
So I'm like really curious about how the combat's gonna be. If it's gonna be like Dragon Quest 8, where like you have all your characters.
So typical, like crap, like real
turn-based RPG.
Yeah, turn-based RPG.
Or
stuff.
If it's gonna be like. The other Dragon Quest, the older ones, were also turn-based as well, but like you would just see the monsters in front of you and then like pictures of your characters on the bottom.
Yeah. So are you thinking maybe it might be like the new Final Fantasy games, newer Final Fantasy games, where it's just like an action RPG?
I don't think so, because I've heard people boast about Dragon Quest being like the true JRPG that has never changed its formula. It's always stayed with like this different battle systems, but with the same at the same time. Like
from what I'm seeing in the trailer for it, it really looks like it is going to, you know, you'll see the enemies much like you do in the Dragon Quest games, and then it's going to shift into...
Right, into like a turn-based.
Turn-based, yeah.
That's what I want.
That's exactly what I want.
I haven't played a turn-based, at least a big turn-based RPG.
Dude, I remember Dragon Quest 7 or 9, I can't remember what it is now, but I remember going into that first Dragon Quest I ever played... Just because I saw it for like $5 somewhere. And I was like, I'm going to give this a shot. And it became one of my favorite games of all time. The first JRPG I got into in the longest time. And I was like, this is great. I love everything about it. I was interested in the story. Combat was fun. I liked changing my outfits, putting on different bandanas. It was super cool.
But I've actually been looking into playing one that our friend Juan recommended to me.
Which one is that?
I think it was 4... The guy with he has a purple turban on.
Sure. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I have
DS,
no clue.
But I think it might have been 4.
But yeah, I would say play it, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably what, like $10 now? I'll just buy it for DS and...
Play it on that 3DS, baby.
Before it dies.
Yeah.
This has been acting up.
One thing I don't think you play anymore, which maybe I'm wrong, Street Fighter V?
I actually picked it up.
Did you?
Again, yeah.
Is it because you wanted to play with all the other rage quitters?
No.
Okay. So we kind of talked about it last week. They were going to do a thing where they basically marked you as a rage quitter.
Right.
If you're a rage quitter. Which is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
So definitely. I thought it was cool enough.
So I thought that was already in place, to be honest. I know they were talking about it a long time ago, and I thought that was already in place. So, but it, I guess it's good that it's, maybe I might have been thinking about Overwatch, because I think matches you up with all the...
I think in Street Fighter V, you're right in that they had sort of these temporary bans where they would only, you know, it'd be something similar. But now they actually have it to where if you're someone who frequently quits mid-match, you are now going to be matched up with other people who usually quit mid-match.
Right, right.
Which is amazing. That's one of the best thing. That's the best thing Street Fighter V, I think, has done so far.
But I know they did the whole rage quitting thing, and I'm super stoked about that just because I might now get plus because I picked up another character that I think was my secondary character.
Yeah.
Because they changed a lot in this new patch. They changed a lot from my character that I'm like, oh, man.
Were you maining?
Armika.
Okay. And now you're with who?
Zangief.
Okay.
Which is weird for me because I'm usually like I like the faster characters. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, well, Zangief is weird because you have to like think ahead.
He's like slow and plodding.
Yeah. He's slow and plodding, yeah. But like.
Comparatively.
His dash in this game, like his sidestep, whatever. Not sidestep, but like his double tap. Actually covers a decent amount of ground as to his older games. Mm-hmm. So it's insane now. And his grappling range is a little bit more, which that little inch more helps a lot.
Do you think that this winter update where they kind of get... do you deal with rage quitters at all?
Not really. No.
And now you never will, probably.
Rage quitting is more towards people at the higher ranks.
Yeah, just so they don't affect it, basically.
Yeah. Well, I know there's more rage quitters in the higher ranks.
It will be interesting.
Because that's a lot of them, that's how they get to the higher rank.
It will be interesting to see people's rank versus their icon. You know what I mean? That'll be an interesting study to see if you have all these high-ranked people. Because it says there would be multiple different icons, special icons, to show how reliable you are.
Right.
It'd be crazy to see all these people who are super high-ranked and then have this little crybaby icon that says they jump out whenever they start losing.
I've always thought rage quitting is shitty, dude.
Like, it's if like, just lose.
Yeah, if you're playing a competitive game, you're not going to win all the time.
Yeah.
You're going to lose. You're playing a game where you have a 50-50 chance of losing, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, why play it if you're scared to lose?
Yeah, that's going to happen quite a bit.
Yeah.
Especially if you're not very good. Like, for me, it would happen 90% of the
time. Right, right. I mean, you should see my win-to-lose ratio in mine.
You've personally won zero matches. You've been
it's closer.
You've been trying
it's
to play with your
closer to zero than it is to
100.
Than it is to 10. Yeah. I've won a few matches, but I'm not great. I didn't even get past bronze, I don't think.
I'm even worse. One of the other things I saw this week that I loved was I don't know if it was necessarily a leak, but they showed the Until Dawn prototype.
Oh, yeah, that was...
that was very interesting. So it was when it was still on PS3, and it was basically a Move title.
Right, right.
And did you watch any of the video?
Yeah, I did.
It looked bad. I mean, not necessarily graphically, because I know that was just sort of...
I'd say it did look graphically bad, too.
Yeah, but that was just sort of a start. That was like a pre-release demo thing.
Right.
But the idea of... it was first person, which now it's not. It's third person.
So I was getting like Silent Hill vibes from it.
Kind of, yeah. It's Silent Hill, but the thing is, unless they change the story immensely, which I don't think they did, they basically said they ended up going a different direction because their story was so good. They didn't want it, like, they wanted that to be the main focus as opposed to the mechanics of the move or anything like that.
Right.
So there wouldn't have been really any jump scares. You can't really, no one can hit you. You don't run from people. Like, that's not part of the game. But they showed it. You're walking around with a flashlight in first person, very awkwardly moving your hand with the move controller.
Yeah, I saw that really awkward movement.
Whenever people went to like open cabinets and stuff, their arm would stretch to like 3 feet long and open it.
So was the move ever precise? Was it really
good? I don't think so.
Okay.
Which is it has to be kind of if they're using it for VR.
Yeah.
But I just think, I don't necessarily think it's not precise. I just think that it wasn't fully integrated.
I assume it's probably better than the Wii, right?
Maybe. With the Wii Motion Plus, they made it quite a bit better. But anyway, they changed a lot of the characters. They obviously switched to third person. The story got a lot better. Characters got a lot better.
Yeah.
And graphically, it was just... I'm so glad they waited to the PS4. That is one of the most underrated games ever,
really?
Probably.
Underrated?
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of people talk about it.
But it was sort of like a critical darling.
Okay.
But as far as sales go, it didn't do great.
Yeah,
and
gotcha.
it really should have, because you don't see games like that. And I'm worried, it was made by Supermassive. And if people don't buy these games, I don't think they're going to keep making games like that. And they need to. You don't really see story-based games like that unless it's something like Telltale series.
Right.
And it's so different from that that it needs to exist. I need it to be a thing.
I don't know much about Until Dawn, unfortunately. And the concept of the game kind of doesn't really... Like, the concept of it gets me.
Yeah.
But the gameplay doesn't really do it for me.
Here's the thing, and this might sound weird. Gameplay doesn't matter.
Well, to me, it does.
But I'm saying it won't. I know
like,
what you mean.
I know the story, and... I'd rather watch it, you know what I mean? Like, I'd rather watch you play it.
That's fair, and the unfortunate thing is that's what a lot of people did.
Yeah.
And that's why no one bought it.
Well, that's the thing, because it's... The games that I play are very... Like, there's a lot of gameplay to them.
You push to the next story point.
Yeah.
That's part of what I really loved about Until Dawn, is you were the story, and everything that I did that affected the story made it feel like I was doing it as that
and
character.
And I respect the fact that it does all that stuff, but I don't think I, me personally,
yeah.
I don't think I have the...
The wherewithal the kind of...
To kind of, like, just wait it out.
I get that. A lot of it is walking.
Yeah.
And moving a flashlight, but really... Oh, man, I think if you ever see it for, you know, cheap or something, give it a shot.
I'm sure. I mean, it's on sale right now for $10.
Probably, yeah. It's a very good game.
I mean, it's $20 just now,
just regularly.
Yeah.
I got it when it dropped down to $20 because, and I didn't do that because it was that game. I do that with most games because,
right.
Again, we don't have a ton of money. So we basically just wait until we can't afford it for the most part. And then I think really the only other thing that we saw is that CD Projekt Red, or CD Projekt, I guess, they applied for a government grant through the Polish Game In program.
They applied for it?
Well, and then they got approved for it.
Okay, I was about to say.
For $7 million. Yeah, $7 million government grant to basically make its games better. It says, the whole thing says, a couple months ago, CD Projekt Red applied for a government grant through the Polish Game In program to research city creation, animation excellence, cinematic feel, and seamless multiplayer.
Yeah.
So that means they're going to make some crazy, beautiful city game.
What's the...
Everyone's going to love it.
Cyberpunk 2077, I think.
Which I'm... God, I want it to be so good, Jose.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be good, but the way that it's turning out right now, I feel like it's going to take forever.
And let it. Let
oh,
it
yeah,
take
definitely,
forever.
But I don't want it to get to the point where they're taking forever.
Yeah.
And then they cancel it.
Not going to happen.
Because why is it taking forever? That's what I want to know.
But didn't... When The Witcher was released, they... Remember they released like a note with it that said, sorry.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, when the last Witcher that came out was Xbox 360. I'm cool with waiting.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
10 years
just the gap
stuff,
in between. But... I know, but there's no way it will get canceled. No yeah. way. They saw...
I know they're pretty good. They're good at developing their stuff. I mean, fuck Witcher, man. Shit.
Well, they're going to make so much money. They've made a ton of money from The Witcher alone. And it's kind of like the reason they can do that is it's almost similar to GTA in the fact that they make so much money from their current game that there's no need to rush the next one.
I want to know if Witcher 1 and 2 made money, like a lot of money.
We'll look that up, and maybe we'll bring that to the next podcast. But I know Witcher 3 definitely did.
Oh, yeah.
And that was, like, such an arduous development process for them.
All the bugs aside and, like, certain little things that bugged me about that game was incredible.
Yeah, I will probably get into it. So, my thing coming up with the next year, and we'll kind of... I'm not even going to get into it. Next week, we'll do a couple things. We'll run down our top 10s.
Right.
Our games of the year stuff. And then we'll also talk about New Year's resolutions, gaming, and otherwise. Because I have a couple of ideas of what I want to do and what I should probably do to help me as a whole. You got anything else news-wise, buddy?
Nothing really. I mean, nope, not at all, actually.
It was slow news week, but it was a little bit better. I'm down. Okay, so moving on. Jose, we have a gift today.
Oh, snap.
It's heavy. I'm going to give it to you. You can open it and describe it and tell people what you're looking at.
Jeez, bud. It's a box.
It is a box. It's wrapped.
What do you call it? Not construction paper.
It's like it's just brown like packaging paper.
That's what I wanted to call it.
Yeah.
It says Merry Christmas, 2-bit. Taste buds.
End quotes. That's Taste Buds. It's our everyone's favorite segment, Taste Buds. Soon to be a podcast at some point where we so there's going to be undoubtedly he's making sure to keep it kind of close to the mic so you can hear it crumble. And he's not tearing it open for some reason.
Well, I don't want to make a lot of noise, so I'm sliding it.
But so you're just making it last forever. Just tear it open. Just tear it open. All right, crinkle. That's good. That's good. Ooh, oh.
Fancy.
Nice. This is good. What?
Well, thank you? Or is it for both of us, I assume?
Yeah, man. It's for both of us. Okay, cool. What?
I felt really weird.
Why?
Because I was like, damn it, I didn't bring a gift for Scott.
Oh, no, man. We're going to split it up.
Cool. Who do you want to be?
Huh?
Who do you want to be?
I don't really care. I have an idea. These are for our studio. How's that sound?
Yeah, sounds good.
Wherever that's going to be. So, what is it?
It is a 2-glass set, Super Mario Bros. One's Mario and Bowser.
Mm-hmm.
And they're 16-ounce cups.
Yeah, man. It's pretty cool. This is from Whitney.
Thank you, Whitney.
Yeah, that's my girlfriend. She's a nice lady. And this, whenever we have another Taste Buds segment that's with drinks, they'll be coming out of this cup.
Yeah.
These are the official cups. Which one you want, buddy?
Bowser.
All right, and that means I will be Mario, which means I defeat you just like I do in real life, you bitch.
Shit.
Oh, boy. You want to open these little guys?
Sure, what are they?
I don't know. She said don't open it on the podcast because it'd probably be boring. So let's go ahead and open it. You get to be two and I'll be bit.
I like two. I like being two people.
This one looks even harder to open for me. So let's go. Uh-oh. What is this?
I think they're gummy snacks.
So popping it open. Okay, so it's another Super Mario thing.
Ooh.
What is this?
They're collector pins.
Oh, nice. Oh, man, of course there's like a little sticker seal thing on the top.
Come on, Peach.
I hope I get... Ooh, a gold Mario. That's fun.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
No, I didn't.
Because he blends in.
We're still working on getting this tape open. I shouldn't have been all hygienic and clipped my nails yesterday. Is this good podcasting?
Yeah, of course it is. People I don't want to mess up the box because I really like nice boxes.
Yeah, I did it okay. I made it out.
All right, who'd you get?
Oh, and then there's a blend. There's like a Pop-Tart bag inside that you have to open. A little piece of paper fell out of yours.
I didn't.
I'm going to open this one with my mouth.
I think I got Toad.
The coolest one is Toad.
Why'd you open it with your mouth? There's a thing here.
Fuck you. That's why I'm opening it with my mouth. I'll open it however I want to.
Who'd you get?
I got
Luigi.
Mario.
Yeah!
High five.
I'm down with Luigi.
Third high five in a row. Yeah, man, this is cool. How's yours look? It looks like you remember the cartoon?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is straight up from the cartoon because that's what he looks like. And that looks like Super Mario 3? I don't even know.
I think this is just Luigi.
Either way, this is cool. So now we have pins and cups.
I'm going to wear that every time we have the cut podcast.
We'll post pictures of both also in our Christmas gear because we're definitely both decked out. In Christmas gear. All right, Jose, you have anything to say before we send these people off to have a merry, merry Christmas?
Yes.
And all of the other holidays, of course. Do whatever holiday you want. Winter solstice, I think that passed. Hanukkah starts Christmas Eve.
I think that's really cool that they're all coming in together.
Yeah, as opposed to last year when it happened during Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that was really weird. But yeah. I don't know how Hanukkah works, so I don't want to sound ignorant.
Yeah, but you do.
Too late.
Yeah. Okay, so anything you want to say to anybody?
Thank you, Whitney, for the wonderful gifts.
Yes, we can. Yes,
and
thank you
to
my girlfriend.
I'll try to get more active with Instagram, but I realize that I'm very boring.
We'll do the same with Twitter. We'll get better at that. It's kind of difficult. We're still trying to get everything going. Not a ton of people like us. And look, we get it. We're not very cool or good or anything. And we're kind of doing it for ourselves, honestly. So we kind of went into this knowing we're not going to be popular because people hate us. but yeah, so Jose runs our Instagram. It's at 2-bit podcast. I do the Twitter again, at 2-bit podcast. That's number 2 for both. If you want to send in any questions in, any comments, anything you want us to talk about, send that to 2bitpod@gmail.com. We like getting emails and we will probably read yours on here in a segment we like to call
Jose's News Corner.
That's not a good thing. Too since late. We have a news segment.
That's what it's called now.
I would probably call it Question Corner because alliteration sounds better.
Or the question block.
Yeah, there you
get
go.
It? Yeah, I'm
Let's
great.
Let's do a fourth high five.
Fourth
okay,
high five.
We just did a fourth high five. Yeah, so Instagram, 2-Bit Podcast. Twitter, 2-Bit Podcast. Email, 2bitpod@gmail.com. Jose, send them off.
Bye, babies.
Bye. Okay, so biggest spoiler. Everyone dead. Everyone has died.
Oh man.
Not a single person lived.
Are you just gonna go into spoilers now for
it? Yeah, that's what I said.
I thought we were gonna do that at the end of the show.
No, I'm cutting it, I'm throwing
it
in.
Okay,
at the
let's
end.
Go, let's go, let's go. So yeah. They had to do that though.
But it's amazing that they did that.
Yeah.
Because no one would have expected that.
Well, I kind of did.
Well,
because I was
maybe.
Like, they had to die. They're not in the 4, 5, and 6.
You don't know that. They could have just not been shown.
They could have not, but I mean, they had to die, though, like, essentially, because what are they going
to
do? Like,
I disagree. They didn't have to.
What are they
going to
do? What they did last time? Put in new Anakin Skywalker in episode 6?
No.
You know what I mean?
But I'm just saying there's so much stuff in Rogue One that went on into A New Hope that... You don't necessarily see in the forefront.
But then at that point, like, if you don't see them do that, they're gonna go into it and say, like, oh, well, they were here the whole time while this whole thing was happening.
Well, but that's the whole idea of the movie.
That's
is that this
like
was
a cop out. You know what I mean?
But it's not though, because
everybody dying.
Rogue One is happening as A New Hope is happening
before.
No, it's like hand in hand. Like that stuff's happening. I'm not saying. Like, obviously, it leads into the ending, which is Leia getting the message, of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm saying all of the stuff leading up to A New Hope is happening hand in hand.
When does Leia get kidnapped in episode 4?
I don't know.
Right at the beginning.
Yeah.
So this is essentially right before...
But I'm saying everything leading up to
is
happening
at
the exact same time in a different space.
Yeah.
So them doing it this way, I don't think it was a cop-out at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess what I'm getting at is... The fact that everyone dies, you don't really see movies now, even though it makes sense. And I don't think it's a cop-out. Even though it makes sense for everyone to die, you don't see movies that make you attached to so many different characters.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, let's murder them all.
Right, right.
And I know they had to because it's this sort of in-between Star Wars story thing. But God.
Like, it's weird because then that's... How long was the movie?
2.5 hours?
Okay. I kind of got attached to some of the characters,
yeah.
But some didn't do enough, you know what
no?
I mean? No.
I got attached to just about every single main character in it.
I got attached to...
Mads Mikkelsen.
Not really.
No, I didn't either. He doesn't play a
Though,
huge role.
Though, that being said, I'm going to keep saying every time we talk about him, he has really piercing eyes.
Yeah, that's his whole thing.
That's scary.
And he's a great actor, of
oh,
course.
Definitely.
He was great in this.
The main character, I forgot her name.
Jen Erso.
Jen Erso, Cassian, right?
Yep.
The robot.
K2SO.
Yeah. And Donnie Yen and then the other guy.
I feel like the
pilot that defected, feel like they could have done better with him. Like
what
he
do you
needed
mean?
More. I wanted him to like do more.
As in how? You just
well,
wanted him to
pilot.
Be more involved? Yeah. That's why he had to stay with the ship.
Yeah, but he could have done a lot better, you know, like he could have piloted the ship, he could have proven that he's like a fucking ace pilot, you know what I mean?
I mean, but he kind of did. His name is Bodhi Rook, and it's by Riz Ahmed, who's great, and he's in The Night Of, which is an HBO series that's really good.
Cool.
Anyway, there was also Alan Tudyk played K2SO. That's funny,
huh? I don't know who that is.
So Donnie was super cool.
Yeah,
let's talk about that.
So have you seen any of his movies?
No. No, I haven't. I didn't mean to sound mean.
So,
no,
I
never.
Haven't either.
Okay.
But I want to because I've been hearing that Ip Man and all those movies.
Oh, he's in those?
Oh, he's all of those. And
nice.
I guess from what I've heard, he's stepped up his English for this movie.
Okay.
Because I guess it was kind of broken every now and then.
Yeah.
And he pretty much stepped it up and he learned a lot of it for this movie. And
worth
apparently
it.
They're really like his other movies are really good, and they're all like kung fu movies.
Which I see why after watching this. Here's my thing. Why do clone troopers and stormtroopers, why do they wear that armor if it does nothing?
I know, right? Because the other guy was wearing armor that was protecting him from lasers. Yeah. And I was like, why don't they wear that?
And I'm sure there's somewhere in the canon or in the backlog of stuff that explains why. Yeah. But it's always one-hit kills no matter where you're shot. And sometimes someone can just hit you with a stick. And then you fall on the ground and maybe you get up eventually.
You probably die, maybe?
You either die or you get knocked out by getting hit in the shoulder.
Well, they called in those freaking the AT-ATs, right?
Yeah.
And you know some of them got crushed.
Yeah, exactly. when they showed them kind of running alongside the AT-ATs and the AT-STs, I was like,
did they seem too fragile to you in this one?
The AT-ATs?
Yeah.
A little bit, because
I remember they had to do some bullshit in episode 5.
Well, I remember they used to have to rope their legs in and stuff like that, but now they're just shooting them in the joints and stuff and keeping it going. But I don't know. Yeah, he was great. He was blind. There was a point where one of the troopers said, "He's blind." And I was like, yeah.
My favorite part was when they put the bag over his head and he was like, "Come on, man.
I'm blind." Yeah, I love that. There was the big pun that I hated. They show Vader. Mm-hmm. His outfit looked weird to me. It looked so 70s. And his helmet looked so disjointed from himself. I didn't understand.
I think it's always been like that when we were just dumb kids.
Maybe.
But everybody always puts Vader on the pedestal as like, the greatest Sith and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
Well, he's not the greatest Sith. Me personally, I was just like, is this the least cool he's ever looked?
I think so. I feel like his costume was more simplified.
He had these weird spandex pants. Maybe he hadn't gotten his full attire yet. But it was great seeing him in that little chamber.
The neck thing really
weird?
That's
what I'm talking about. Yeah, it seems so disjointed. And
I know
it's
always been like
that. Someone could just be like, come on, pull it off.
I feel like it's always been like that, but it's so weird that it was that big to me. I don't remember it being that big.
No, I don't either. So maybe that's different. But the thing that got me is, so the military leader, whatever, I forgot what he was doing, commander, whatever, mm-hmm. he goes there. And he's like, so I'm going to take over again. And then Vader force chokes him. Mm-hmm. And he says, don't choke on your own ambitions. And I was like, oh boy, Darth Vader's into puns? Like, that's awful.
This is coming from episode 3 Anakin. So, you know.
Yes.
It was kind of bad.
Yeah, that's true. And then when they show Vader going into the ship. And just start destroying rebel soldiers.
Oh, yeah.
That was amazing. So everything goes dark, and then you just see
him
light
terrifying.
Up with a saber. The most terrifying. He just cutting people to bits and choking them and throwing them into other people.
Dude, I felt so bad for the guy that got hit up with the ceiling.
Oh, I know. I felt bad for the guy that got stabbed through the door.
Yeah.
And like went through him, through the door, and then the door opened, which is very funny. But they got the message out there, obviously. I'm trying to think if there's any other crazy spoiler stuff that we missed.
I know my girlfriend mentioned, like, she said, like, forced romance at the end, which I don't think was the case. I at least explained it to her. Like, I don't think really was the case.
I think it was more
a friendly thing.
Yeah, I don't think it was romance at all. Like, there were a couple times where they made it seem, sorry for cutting you off, that they were going to
kiss.
They got close, but it was always just like, no, it's his understanding of respect.
Yeah,
I think that did
kind of bug me because, it's an understanding of respect, but they did kind of make it look like they were going to kiss.
Yeah, these people love each other.
Yeah, and I explained to her, I'm like, the world's about to end.
Yes.
Someone's standing next to me. I'm probably going to hold their hand and then die hugging them because I want to die holding somebody regardless of who they are. I'm like, hey, man, you know.
I think it was just more of a thing of like, thank you.
Yeah.
That's kind of what they were saying.
Which is really fucking sad.
Yeah.
Because they knew each other for what, 4 days maybe?
Yeah, not that long, like a week.
Man, I'm getting teary-eyed.
Yeah. But they end up getting, the Death Star ends up using one reactor to blow up, I can't think of the name of the planet now or the city they were on.
Ebba Bebba?
Something. Scarif? Was it Scarif?
No.
I think it was Scarif. So they use one reactor to blow up just that city, and it's basically just like a nuclear bomb, essentially.
Right.
Huge mushroom, and just they are far enough away, but they know it's coming, so they just kind of look at each other, and then they hug, and then they're destroyed.
Yeah.
Not a single person survived on that city, but they got the message out, and it got to Leia at the end.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just want to go back to that. It's full on just a respect hug.
Yeah.
It's a thank you hug.
That's what I was explaining. I'm like, because it, it was nice, and I'm glad they didn't really try to force the romance, because, you know.
Yeah, it's not necessary. And I think it would have been the same thing if it was Bodhi and Cassium. Right. I think the same thing would have happened. Mm-hmm. I don't think it matters, you know, their gender, sex, or anything like that. I think it's just like, no matter what two people it was, it would have, if it was K2SO,
then that would have happened. I'm so upset over that.
He sacrificed himself, yeah. Which I know is weird because he's a robot who was programmed to kind of do that.
I just like that. Like, he just bashed on the center console thing, yeah. And just died.
Let's talk about this. So I know it was, you know, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far right. away, but there are a lot of just levers that you pull.
Yeah.
And also a lot of buttons that I don't think are necessary.
Well, I feel like they had to do that to keep in line with episode 4, 5, yeah. and 6, because they, like, all the stuff that they're using, they're still using wireframe technology on their computers and shit.
Yeah, when they had just, like, there were two moments at least where they needed to pull a lever, and I was like, come on, guys, you have robots and giant walkers and stuff.
Oh, man.
Which apparently, even back then, they were like, hey, instead of something giant with, like, huge tread that's way better, let's make something with legs that can get injured
right.
and fall.
Right.
Like, it makes sense.
I mean, they
no
did
sense.
Have a tank there. But they never use it in any other movies. They're yeah. just using legged stuff.
And the most important thing, what's that little man? What's that little man?
The one that was like...
yeah, he was like Chewbacca Jr.
So I want to know, I'm very interested in like the races that are in Star Wars and what
yeah,
they're called. I'm still wondering what the blue guy from the cantina is still called.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been thinking about after seeing yesterday, I was like, maybe I'm going to read the novels.
Are you?
Like, I think so. Okay. I think that might be part of like maybe a New Year's resolution is to
read
up on Star Wars, because I'd like to be more knowledgeable, and because there's no fiction in the world that I'm really like super into.
Right.
And I'd be fine if Star Wars was my thing. I'm still never going to be one of those actually guys.
Actually.
But yeah.
Anyway. How about that retcon though with
Which
the vent?
One? With the vent. What do you? Oh yeah, that yeah. was great. Where he was like, "I've spent
I like
all
that
these
they
years."
Justified it.
I felt honestly that it was genius.
Yeah,
that's the best way they could have ever done that.
Yeah,
because
what other way would they do it? Like, oh, the designer forgot, I guess.
Yeah, well, that was kind of the idea. Was
because like even if you say it needs that vent for something, that's still kind of a cop out. Whereas this one's like an effort of somebody trying to destroy it a long time ago.
Yeah. So Galen Erso, which is Jyn Erso's dad, mm-hmm. said, if I would have come here and just done it reluctantly, they would have killed me. So what I did is I made myself indispensable. I did all this hard work. I poured myself into it. I caused the deaths of hundreds or thousands of people and planets and everything to make this happen. And now there's a weakness that you can get out there and have people take advantage of. So her dad dies in front of her. And then she dies at the end. Her mom has already been dead for a while.
Yeah.
And then her, like, mentor or her protector dies in Jedha City. Oh, boy. Just, like, murder every 5 seconds. it was devastating to me. I got attached to most of these people. All of these main people.
Like,
go see it.
did you see, though, that they were relying a lot on cameos?
How so?
Well, there's R2-D2 and C-3PO. They, like, put them in there, just at least for that tiny little scene.
Yeah, that was a little fan
service
thing.
The guy from
thing.
Episode 3.
Yes, in the ship.
And then I get the commander
Porkins.
Guy. The Huh?
Porkins.
No.
I know.
Okay. Was he in it?
No.
Okay. Because I know they had a few from the older movies.
Yeah, right? They did, like, 3 or 4.
Yeah, and then Leia.
Yes.
But, I mean, she seems
But she had to be.
Yeah, same
she
with
had
Vader.
To be.
Same with the, was it the Chancellor?
Vader wasn't a cameo, though. He was an integral part of the story.
Yeah.
Not
really.
He was.
He was not an integral part of this story.
How was he?
What did he do?
He basically, well, one, he existed.
Yeah, he existed.
He was.
But, like, the main villain of the story was the guy in white, the guy dressed in white.
Absolutely, but you couldn't have this movie happen without Vader.
No, definitely. But then if that's the case, you know, other characters can be the same as well, I guess.
I don't know what you mean by that.
Neither. But like, I don't think he was like an integral part of the story. Like, he was in it. He didn't do much, though.
He led to the existence of the next one.
And next one what?
The next movie.
Yeah, I know. But like, if anything, it would have been the other guy, the commander, the green, the
yeah.
CG guy. Because
yeah.
he actually did something.
Yeah.
He tried to take command from him, in which he eventually ends up doing after that. And then he goes...
Yeah, but I guess I'm just saying, if you're talking about cameos that weren't necessary to the story at all. You got C-3PO, R2-D2, the couple of rebel pilots, and that's kind of it. It was just like fun fan service stuff.
Episode 3 guy.
Which one was that?
The one that kind of looks like Lando.
Oh, I don't know.
He's like, what about your Jedi friend? And he's like, don't worry, I'll trust her with my life or something. Yeah. I trust her with my life.
Yeah.
That guy, he's from, he's the guy who's always hanging around with Padme.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
And I didn't know he was still alive, to be honest.
No. All right, you got anything else in you, Star Wars wise?
Star Wars wise? I mean, I liked it. Like I said,
it was very good.
I don't think it was a bad movie. It kept me interested. It's just that certain little things kind of bugged me.
And you liked Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull better.
No, I did not like Indiana Jones. I thought that one was really, I wouldn't say bad, but it was just,
people,
okay, it was bad.
People say it was bad.
It was bad because Harrison Ford should be doing any more things, man.
Well, he's going to be in the next Star Wars, right?
No, he's dead.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, if he is, I mean,
well, cool, but I think he's going to be in one of the stories. I should say.
He's getting his own side movie, but it's a different actor,
I assume,
it's
a different actor. Donald Glover's playing Lando Calrissian, which is interesting.
I know, right?
Yeah, so I'm curious to see that.
But did you see that Carrie Fisher had a heart attack?
Yeah, let's not talk about that. Just because, that just happened yesterday as of recording this, and hopefully everything's good.
Yeah, that
nothing's
happened,
been
like,
said
right before we went to the movie.
Yeah, she's been through a lot throughout the years, so I don't think this is going to take her down. Mm-hmm. She's a tough broad, so keep her in our hearts.
Yeah.
All right, so we done with a little Star Wars
talk?
Yeah,
are you going to put like a time step on there? Just
Yeah, so okay. Like I said, all that will be moved to the end.
Okay, cool.
Bye.
Bye.